So therefore, I'll be steadfast. I will not move. I'll be the structure that stands in the hurricane. I'll be the sandcastle that the tide doesn't wipe away. You know what you'd have to do for that? Pour concrete around it. That's not going anywhere. But we need to be set, unmovable. Now, you don't want to be set on the flesh or you're just stubborn. But set on the will of God and established in His Word. And by that, Satan's deceptions are not going to lure you off. Because he wants to pull you, one, away from the Word, but two, away from what you're called to do or the work he has for you. He pulls you out of the will of God. Well, now you're not really in faith or loving God. You're concerned about you somehow, or offended, or whatever it might be. And we have to be established. That's where you need to establish what His will is, and then be steadfast to that, refusing to let the devil take you out. Now, for some people, it doesn't take much to take them out. That's why it's imperative you get established in the Word as early on as possible, or Satan will find a way to take you out. Now, we don't have to fear. What we do need to do is draw near to the magnetic force of the Holy Ghost. Let's be established in His Word, because He reveals the Word and He guides us in truth, and it's through Him our lives would glorify Christ. Comfort your hearts. Connecting to the Holy Ghost, it's a daily thing, that He might establish you in every good word. We can't be wishy-washy about the will of God or the work of God, but firm and unmoving. One thing that is very high in my value system, if you don't understand someone's value system, you won't understand them. When I go to different places, I'm always listening for what their value system is. And not to criticize them, but to help them. How do I relate to them? What's the next thing they need, the next step? But my value system, loyalty is way up here. I have a low tolerance for disloyalty. And faithfulness, it's part of faithfulness. Faithfulness, I'll say it this way, is way up there. That I'm going to be faithful to God, to what He's called me to do. I'll be loyal to Him. I'll be loyal to those that are with me in Him and His purpose. That's why I listen for the people who know they're called with you, or are they just there for something they're going to get? If they're just there for something they're going to get, that won't last long. Eventually, they'll be offended at something. Something they want, they didn't get. Something you did, they don't like, whatever. So you got to get married. You need to be fully aware. It's an engaged young man. You must know it's the will of God. The other person must know it's the will of God. They must know how the Lord established that in their heart. And you need to know they have a commitment to the will of God, that your flesh isn't going to cause them to say, I've had enough, I'm out of here, Jack. Not to pick on anybody named Jack. John, Harry, whatever. See, for me, I can go on the other side of the world. I completely trust my wife. We're committed to the will of God together. Thought does not enter my mind of unfaithfulness. Doesn't enter my mind. Because of our commitment together to the will of God, we know how and when and where the Lord established that. So you keep building on those things. Now, there's times certain things might be fulfilled in terms of a work you have to do or so forth. But till then, It's like I'm building on that. And when I coached basketball, one thing I try to stress, you don't quit. I don't care if we're losing 55-6. We're going to win the next 5 minutes of the game. You don't quit. And if you show you're not a quitter, I'll take you out for pizza. So appeal to their flesh a little bit. But to me, you give 100% right into your grave. All that you have, the best that you have. Yeah, you know, the other week I asked Shane to preach, and that morning I was kind of like dizzy, and I don't know what all was going on there. My body was resisting something. I probably could have made myself come, but I knew I can't do it with all that I have 100%. So I'd rather someone else do it with their 100%, because I can't do anything halfway. I think my throat was by cough and phlegm. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to praise and worship the Lord. I have to go into a hack and fit. I'm not going to do it halfway. I'm not going to do anything halfway. You serve him to the end. You do the work with all that you have the whole way to the end. And when you're linked up with other people of the same mind, it doesn't matter all the noise the devil's making. And you don't have to retaliate or strike out or anything like that. He needs to establish us in every good word and every good work. Otherwise, we'll be quickly drawn aside. And some people just bounce around, and never really are used very much for the Lord. Are they still saved? Yeah, probably still saved. Lest they renounce him. Verse 1, chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, or would be released and run its course and be glorified, even that is with you. Now he's praying that the word of God would continue to be working unhindered, bring glory to God. Now that does not mean that everything's just going to go smooth and go your way and be the way you want it to be. There's one of the misconstruings of the word of faith. Well, if you're in faith, everything should just go fine, no problems. Then Paul was an abject failure. Don't read his letters anymore. Because he had all hell coming at him the whole way to the end. Yet, he continued to draw on the Holy Spirit. Then I guess Jesus was a failure too. Because everything Satan had came to him. However, he was raised from the dead. And Paul continued to draw on the power of God. They even stoned him to death the one time, says in 2 Corinthians. And the saints were praying for him, and he rose up healed. It doesn't get much worse than being dead. I mean, that's a big problem. But it's not bigger than God. He was dead, and God raised him because the work wasn't finished. When I was in the hospital a while back, one thing I had to know, is my work finished or not? And upon having the reassurance, no, it's not. Okay, Lord, we're moving forward. Whatever it takes, whatever you have to do, I'm believing for it. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. Because your work is not finished. It's very easy to pity yourself and lay down, crawl in a hole. But believers should never take that position of going back to a fetal position like a baby. When you're overcome with fear, you go in a fetal position. Someone's wife called me once, please come pray for husband. I get there, and he's curled on the floor in a fetal position. Spirit of fear to overcome him. Well, we prayed. He rose up. And he overcame it. And he went on. Don't let yourself get beat down like that. Now, I'm proceeding through this for a reason. He says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, or not all men have faith. There are wicked people who are tools of the devil. They don't even know what they're doing. Evil, wicked people. There is a push now more than ever before for the Antichrist spirit's one world government, one world rule. The persecution of Jews ramping up. What follows that's the persecution of Christians. Oh, it can't happen here. Get your head out of the sand, Mr. Ostrich. Don't you dare think. Don't be so stupid to think that can't happen. If the power of God's not being released by his people and them standing, anything evil can happen anywhere. And there's been people in different nations thought like that, only to see their nation completely destroyed. And 2 days ago, we had something happen that is a forerunner or a precedent to bring us in to a fallen communist state. If you're not following the news, you need to be. And you don't have to watch it all day, but you need to be aware. Because we had the President of the United States was falsely accused, was not allowed to speak, not allowed to defend himself in court. It was a preordained judgment. And what was done was just a show trial, as he used to call it. Back in the old Soviet Union, there was a saying that one of the top guys said to whoever I don't know if it was Khrushchev or who it was, show me the man, I'll find the crime. Show me the man, I'll find the crime. And I don't want to lock him up and let murderers run the streets day after they arrest him. Now, you talk about the injustice, that's as far along as it goes. But what you have to understand, if a man like that and of that wealth, he's a billionaire, can't defend himself, accusations brought against you, how are you going to defend yourself? A leading conservative senator said, if they did that to me, I could never afford to stand. I'd just have to plead guilty. I don't have the money to do all this. Talk millions and millions and millions of dollars. Now, that's a reality. Reality we're living in. And a lot of people have no idea how serious a matter that is, because it's completely undermined the rule of law. And it's evil. Can't make any bones to call it what it is. It's evil. And sharing with Donna, I admire President Trump in a way I never have. Think, could I have gone through all that? Well, in him, yeah, but it's easy to say that. And what's interesting, his biggest fault, people criticize, is shooting his mouth off, you know, attacking and stuff like that. People wish he wouldn't do it. He came into a place he wasn't allowed. You can't criticize. They had the gag order, I guess what they call it. And I was just sitting here this morning, I was thinking about this, and it's like, that was, in a way, God's way to temper him with all of that. And now he's more just saying, more so. And I'm not hailing him as like some great saint, the next pope. We're not electing popes. We're not electing spiritual leaders. But with any type of leadership, there's certain qualities have to be there. And to stand against this evil that's seeking to pull the rug out from under everything that pertains to our nation, you need someone with great courage. And I marvel. Now, I believe there's people been praying for him, and that's made a difference to make up the difference where his understanding is lacking. But he does acknowledge Jesus Christ. Whether you believe that or not, I mean, it hurt him to do it. And he's not our Savior. We have to understand that the evil is like rushing upon us. And the reason he was chosen, one, he can't be bought off. I mean, why do you need a bribe if you've got billions of dollars? You can't buy somebody that cat off. Two, he has courage. And three, he has a heart to persevere to the work he feels called to do. Now, you can criticize him all you want, but if that doesn't earn your respect, you have a problem. You have a problem. I'm not going to hesitate to say it. If you can't see that kind of character and where it's needed in this day, your head's in the sand because we're about to go down the tubes. Except there's some fight back that comes. Now, if our nation, I'll say it this way, when it's destroyed, because eventually all the nations will fall and bow to Antichrist, eventually. It's in the Word. It's not a matter of debate. It's in the Word. However, our heart should be, as it brings out in Luke 13, to pray that the Lord give us more time, not for us to live a nice leisurely life and pursue pleasure, but for more people to be saved and pulled out of the fire by the love of God we would show. And just read Jude verse 20. If we're being moved by love, we want the nation to be spared for a longer time so that people can be saved. But if you're just wanting it all, Lord, just keep harm. It's about you then. You know, most people in the world cannot take a vacation. Most people in the world are praising God for one meal a day. It used to bother me when I first started traveling, and I'd see this and come back and hear people complain about the stupidest little things. It used to tempt me to get angry. And then the revelation came, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. There's things we do, we don't realize what we're doing. And those people aren't perfect. There's things they do. There's things anywhere in the world. If you want to find fault, you can find it in anyone but Jesus. Doesn't make you spiritual to be a fault finder. But I would observe, be it Nigeria, India, Sri Lanka, Ukraine, Russia, people didn't have much of anything. Not much of anything. They had the joy of the Lord. Yeah, I'll never forget when Dave and I were in Chennai that time after the tsunami. I won't go through the whole story, but people lost their homes, family members, their boats, pots and pans, clothing. They lost it all. And there sitting in front of me was this older lady sitting there with a big smile on her face, praising the Lord. I'll never forget that face, you know. It never leave me. Oh, when I grow up, I want to be like her. Or seeing people dancing down the street on their way to church in Abbas, Nigeria. We have this big outdoor meeting. You were riding in there. I mean, they're dancing down the street. Some of them, they got like Bible on top of their head or whatever, you know, dancing down the street. Where are they going? They're coming to church. And they come in, they're dancing in. And the praise music's going, and they're still dancing. When I grow up, I want to be like him. Or the lady in Ukraine that gave her last meal to a mother with three little children knocking on the door. Ma'am, do you have any food? Do you have any food? She gives her last meal. And the next morning, angels brought boxes of food and set it on her doorstep. How do you know it was angels? There was no food in the city. There was no food in that city, like 20,000 or so. No food there. There's boxes of it on her doorstep. When I grow up, I want to be like her. Sometimes people, they'll hail certain things as making someone great. But many times it's in the simple things. Can you praise him if you have or you don't have? If you're looking at life through the lens of what you don't have, you'll never really get to victory. Because no matter how much you get, you'll just desire more, 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 more. But when you know you have him, you can praise him no matter what's going on. So we finish up here in these verses. That the Lord's faithful. You have all this negative around us, but the Lord is faithful. We don't put our trust in man. Man does not operate by faith. Or men into unreasonable, wicked, evil men in government should never be where our faith is. Oh, this person will deliver this. This person will make life better. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But the Lord's faithful. Man's not faithful. The Lord's faithful, who shall establish you. If you'll draw near to him and connect by the Holy Ghost, he'll establish you and keep you from evil. He'll guard you. He'll watch over you concerning evil. So even though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. Doesn't mean there won't be a valley or a shadow of death. It means when you do, the Lord Jesus, who's your shepherd, will guide you on through and protect you and deliver you. So you can abide in that peace even though all hell's breaking loose. Now, again, those things can be a lot harder to say if you're in a war zone, like, say, in Ukraine, where you never know when bombs are going to come down on you, or Israel, bombs coming down. We don't hear the half of it. Bombs coming down. But that's where we need to be really established. That if we're in a worst-case scenario, or it's just road rage driving down the road, whatever it might be, we have the peace of God. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you. Why did he have a confidence? Because their faith was growing exceedingly, and the love of God was abounding through them. That's why he had the confidence. They were not serving their flesh. They were not a bunch of quitters. They were standing, endeavoring to stand strong in the midst of it all. I have a confidence. You'll do the things we command you. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ, which is the word perseverance. And the Lord, the last part of his prayer here, direct your heart into love. When men are being used of devils and do evil towards you, the great temptation is to step outside of the love realm. We have to be directed in love. Because at any point along the way, any one of us can pick up offense, can pick up bitterness, hatred, speaking evil of people at any point along the way. Anger, bitterness. So we need to continue. As things get tougher around us, we all the more need directed into the love of Christ. That's why I'm appreciating how Alan and I are flowing together some things, teaching on love of God, because that is a critical component of passing through the darker times. That you can learn to keep yourself in love. He's well able to keep you, but you have to keep yourself in love, watching over that word that's been deposited in your heart. Just the other day, we have a fish pond, goldfish. We've learned we keep a net on it year-round now because there's egrets and heron. The other day, Donna looked out and saw a hawk sitting on the net, lusting over our fish. And she went out and yelled at it, and he flew and came back. Okay, we can do better than that. We have a beast in the house. We'll let her out, and we'll see how it goes, Mr. Hawk. You don't belong here. But her heart was to guard the fish. Now, they're of a low value. I mean, the hawk could eat them all. We could buy some more pretty cheap. But that's not the point. Their life has some value. And she's going to protect them. Now, my son probably would have went out and shot the bird, but I think they're not to be shot. I think they're like protected or whatever. You're shaking your head. Can't even touch a feather. So we have a net to watch our fish. Okay. But if my dog gets it, that's not breaking the law. Okay. We have to watch over our heart, the smallest things. Something could seem insignificant, but we have to guard our heart so in such a way. And the greater the attack, it's all the more we guard our heart. Let the word of God bring glory to God through us, not letting devils steal it or rob us or anything else, but let the word of the Lord have its due course for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, give us the revelation in a greater way. We don't have to fear anything because you've loved us. Your love brought all that we would need for deliverance, salvation, to bring the Holy Spirit. Lord, we turn our hearts toward you as turning a magnet to a magnetic force. We hear you calling us. I thank you, Father, as we respond and take that step, we'll be drawn right into your presence. I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have